News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The family of O.J. Simpson announcing he died yesterday after a battle with prostate cancer. The football great was also acquitted in the murder trial of his ex-wife and her friend Ron Goldman 3 decades ago. Here's ABC's Rena Roy.
Charged with both murders, Simpson's 9-month murder trial was broadcast to millions.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder.
2 years later, sued in civil court by the parents of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, the verdict went the other way. Simpson was found liable for the deaths. His assets were seized and he was ordered to pay $33.5 million in restitution to both victims' families.
Simpson was 76. A U.S. top army general in Israel for meetings after the U.S. warned that Israel could face a possible attack by Iranian proxies. President Biden holding talks today with Japan's prime minister and leader of the Philippines. This is ABC News.
Pacific Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley says she won't run for re-election next year. That'll mean an open seat when the ideological balance of the court goes back on the line. Bradley is 73 and was first elected to the court in 1995. Wisconsin is limiting pepper spray restraints and strip searches at youth prisons. Deputy Corrections Secretary Jared Hoy tells a state Senate committee that staff is now using better methods.
It's well documented that human beings are fundamentally more likely to change their behaviors when they make a choice to do so on their own rather than using persuasion tactics, force, coercion, or punishment.
It's part of a court settlement 6 years ago after a scathing review of the Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake schools. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A shelter-in-place order was issued at DeSoto Schools near the end of the school day yesterday after receiving an emailed threat. The Vernon County Sheriff's Office said that similar threats were sent to multiple school districts in the state. The order to shelter in place was lifted shortly after it was issued once the Sheriff's Office found there wasn't any threat. Law enforcement checked all school buildings and said the threat came from outside of the district. Federal, state, and county officials are investigating the threat. There will be an opening on the La Crosse City Council after the resignation of one of its members. District 5's Genesee Haymeister is stepping down next month. In a letter to Mayor Mitch Reynolds and the City Council, Haymeister said she is graduating from UW-La Crosse next month and plans to move to Madison to pursue a master's degree. District 5 represents the area of UW-La Crosse's campus. Haymeister was appointed to the council in 2022 and elected in 2023. Her term ends in 2027. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Brewers with another win in Cincinnati. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Despite a steady rain, the Brewers had no problem scoring runs against the Reds. Top of the first, Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
And a fly ball to deep right. That'll do it. And then some for Christian Yelich. It's gone. A two-run blast for Yelly, and he stays hot. Fifth home run of the season for Christian Yelich. Wow.
The Brewers went on to win 7-2 last night over the Reds. NBA, the Bucks without Giannis and that calf muscle injury. They played against the Orlando Magic and beat them 117-99 at five-serve form. NFL, the Packers are headed to Brazil to play the Eagles. In September, I spoke to Packers president Mark Murphy.
You know, the trip to London was phenomenal. The fan support, that was pretty impressive. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing Brazil. I think we're the most popular team in Brazil and really anxious to see the kind of support we'll get.
That's Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy today with scattered showers and a thunderstorm possible as well. High temperatures will flirt with 60 degrees and winds will start to ramp up this evening and into tomorrow too, dragging our high temperatures down for Friday into the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 58.
Matt and Air on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved winged thingies.
Winged thingies! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, winged thingies.
The winged thingies.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tune in to the Thursday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're counting down to the weekend. We're counting down to the first criminal trial of Donald Trump. Devil's Advocates Radio.
Broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest. With everything lacrosse is talking about. You're soaring with Eagle 1490.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on this Thursday, April 11th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Mr. Zommers, how the heck are you?
Doing well. Good afternoon. It's a nice overcast day here in Madison, but it is toasty outside.
It is a little warm, but it's okay. Expecting some rain in parts of Wisconsin, much needed. We know our ag producers still kind of recovering from this drought, so we welcome the wet weather and then shaping up to be an absolutely gorgeous George weekend, as my former colleague Brian Kennedy is fond of saying. Gonna be mostly sunny, highs in the 60s, low 70s in parts of Wisconsin, and here in Madison, right of the Capitol Square, the return of the famous Dane County Farmers Market right here at the Capitol Square this Saturday morning.
I still haven't been to it yet, so I'll have to go this weekend.
Oh, Mr. Zommers, it's one of the things that makes Wisconsin great, one of the things that makes Madison great.
I know, I'm missing out.
Yeah, well, here's your chance this weekend. So going to be a big show today coming up in hour two. Really looking forward to this at 1:30. Joining us in studio, Jeffrey Hoffman. He is the founder and the owner of the Hoffman Manufacturing Corporation right here in Madison, Wisconsin. Really interesting business where he takes steel and reusable wood panels to make student furniture. We'll talk to him about that a little bit. But what he's really coming in here to talk about is sort of his side hobby, which is converting gas vehicles to electric vehicles. And one of the cool vehicles he's done this to is a DeLorean. Yes, the same model of car that was used in Back to the Future, of course, as the time machine. And so Jeffrey Hoffman will be here at 1:30 to talk about converting a classic DeLorean car into an electric vehicle and many more things. So looking forward to that. One of those cool things that if you look at conservation, if you look at how we use our natural resources, taking a cool car like a DeLorean, or maybe not so cool. He'll talk to us about that in terms of how it's made. So Jeffrey Hoffman coming up at 1:30. Also a great story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today. One of my pet peeves, headline, almost 9 out of 10 pounds of Great Lakes beach litter each year is plastic. Plastic. How plastic is really infecting our state, our nation, and our world's waters. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Also, breaking news in Wisconsin, in terms of our universities of Wisconsin, or I like to still call it the UW system, finally somebody is doing what I've been calling for a long time. Wisconsin State Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat of the Madison area, who sits on the Joint Finance Committee, and State Representative Katrina Shanklin, are going to hold a town hall meeting in southwest Wisconsin, not far from the old hometown of Richland Center, going to be in Muscatine, coming up here on Tuesday, April 23rd, and they're going to have a public forum on these two-year schools being shut down all over the state, now up to five, including UW-Richland. Going to tell
that's
you
great news that they're, yeah, that they're doing that.
Yeah, really great news. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. Also, headline, probably heard it already, but in case you have not, O.J. Simpson dead of cancer at the age of 76.
I wonder if cancer's gloves fit.
We'll look back at that that story and very controversial figure, O.J. Simpson. We will take a look at that at age 76. O.J. Simpson is dead. But first of all, I want to begin with breaking news. At this hour, you heard our news director, Terry Bell, tell it to you at the top of the hour if you were with us. This from WISP Politics, great source of information at WISP Politics there. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley will not seek re-election next year in 2025 when liberal majority will be on the line. From WISP Politics, State Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley announced this morning she will not seek re-election next year, a decision that could make it more challenging for liberals to maintain the majority they won just a year ago. After fellow liberal Janet Protasiewicz's victory last spring, Bradley told reporters this morning she planned to seek a fourth term. I should say last spring, she planned to seek a fourth term for 10 years on the court in 2025. The 73-year-old jurist said in a statement this morning that she knows she could, quote, do the job and do it well, unquote, and was confident she could win re-election if she ran. She went on to say, quote, but it's just time to pass the torch, bringing a fresh perspective to the court, unquote. The 2025 election will again put control of the court up for grabs after liberals flipped it in 2023 for the first time in 15 years. Bradley would have given liberals a candidate who already won statewide office three times and has been a proven fundraiser. But now they'll have to find a new candidate. On the conservative side, Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Brad Schimmel, a former Republican attorney general, has already announced his plans to run. Control of the court, again driving spending in a Wisconsin Supreme Court race, WISP Politics tracked more than $56 million spent last year as Protasiewicz beat former conservative Justice Dan Kelly for an open seat on the court. That was almost four times the previous national record. As a sidebar, Ann Walsh Bradley, a fellow Richland Center, Wisconsin native like myself, she's done a great job, in my opinion. Been a consistent voice for reason and wisdom on the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. What are your thoughts on Justice Ann Walsh Bradley announcing this morning she will not seek re-election? It will mean a wide open state Supreme Court race next spring. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it at your Apple or Android device. It takes less than a minute. It is free. What Gail King calls a deal. Well, that's what she calls the CBS app. So we assume she'd do the same thing for us. But this is major news. Ann Walsh Bradley, liberal Supreme Court justice, saying that she will not run next year. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Make it easy for you that way. Or give us a text on the stuff on the Civic Media app as well. Big news because she had said last year she planned on running. And of course, most incumbents are going to say that. They're not going to telegraph a year ahead that they don't plan on running for re-election. And who knows, maybe Justice Bradley had every reason to suspect a year ago that she would run for re-election. But at 73, I mean, you can understand. You want to go retire and enjoy life a little bit more. But again, I think that Ann Walsh Bradley, and remember there are two Bradleys on the court. There's Rebecca Bradley, the conservative, and then Ann Walsh Bradley, the liberal. And I think Ann Walsh Bradley has been a consistent voice. I know her. I'm not good friends with her or anything like that, but I know her. She was always pleasant. Whenever you see her in the Capitol, when I worked up there on the street. And she's been a very reasonable and rational voice of justice on the state Supreme Court. And also has won her elections fairly easily. Not sure since she first got elected she's really ever had a super tight race. But this is going to open up, and something that we have decried from both sides of the aisle, this is going to open up the money spigot in 2025 on both sides, because it's a wide open Supreme Court seat, and whichever candidate or whichever side wins the Supreme Court race next spring, remember it's a spring election, April of 2025, it will determine once again who controls the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And depending upon how the election goes this fall, that could be even of greater importance. How so, Todd? Well, imagine this. Imagine that Donald Trump gets elected in the fall. The state Supreme Court, much like in Arizona, may again determine whether or not abortion is completely banned in Wisconsin. It's only because we have Janet Protasiewicz along with Ann Walz Bradley and the other liberals on the court by one seat that is preventing in Wisconsin right now what's happened in Arizona this week, which is going back to Civil War era law forbidding women access to health care. So these races are really important. And of course, people will be absolutely exhausted after the fall election, right? But you have to get right into the Supreme Court race for the spring. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark from Prairie to Stack. Mark, thanks for listening. What say you?
Yeah, well, I certainly hope that the candidate they put up can beat Brad Schimmel, because I consider him being one of the most corrupt politicians slash judges in the state. What really got me is when he got Scott Jensen off of his felony charges would forbid him forever being a lobbyist again, and you know, reduce it down to a misdemeanor so he could be a lobbyist. And I'd like to know how much money, you know, Mr. Schimmel has gotten from that, you know, organization that Fitzgerald is a lobbyist for, and he's taken over the years now, and what happened there, because it just disgusts me. If I ran to the man on the street, I'd say that to his face. I mean, mm-hmm. I just completely untrustworthy as far as I'm concerned. That because the other people took their medicine and had to suck it up and accept their felony their convictions. But it was Scott Jensen who committed his felonies here he committed them in Dane County, and that's where he should have faced the charges rather than, well, no, you should charge me in my home county where there's a friendly prosecutor there that'll reduce the charges down so I can be a lobbyist and make money hand over fist and then pass money back on to this guy if he wants to further his political career. It is and that's something that's used as an issue.
Well, for me, Mark, the big case is when he was attorney general and he was defending the Walker voter suppression laws. And that was the federal case I was a witness in for the other side. And you know, Schimmel he didn't even care enough about it to be the main attorney in that case. He kind of sat there, let one of his underlings do it. But this is a guy in Schimmel that defended voter suppression. Are you still there, Mark? Mark's gone. All right, very good. Well, Mark, thanks for the call, Mark. Really, really appreciate it. But yeah, I mean, I've seen this guy up close, Schimmel, and he's defending in federal court voter suppression laws. Not the guy you want on the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, in my opinion. Who do you think might run on the liberal side now that Ann Walz Bradley is saying she will not seek re-election? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Back more after this on the All Balls Show and Civic Media.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Bowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 past the hour of 12 noon on Thursday, April 11th, 2024. Glad to have you with us. Mr. Zalmer's on the board taking your phone calls regarding the announcement this morning, perhaps for some, a bit of a surprise, State Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley announcing this morning she will not seek re-election next year, a decision, according to his politics, that could make it more challenging for liberals to maintain the majority that they won just 1 year ago. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. As I said, Ann Walsh Bradley from the old hometown, Richland Center, Wisconsin, out there in Southwest Wisconsin, well-known in Southwest Wisconsin. And honestly, I mean, I have feelings on our Supreme Court justices, number one, in the state of Wisconsin. I'm of the mind we should not be electing justices. Or if we do, it should be like for one 20-year term. And you only get to do it once. Because I don't think whether it's liberal or conservative, I think having to run for re-election every 10 years, it still opens you up to being somewhat at the behest of the two major parties. I'm not saying that Ann Walsh Bradley was directly, but it makes it difficult in a way.
Well, it does. And also, then you have to run a partisan campaign in this day and age. Like, you're not supposed to, but then it comes down to who's better at saying, I will follow the law. Or you do what Justice Protasewicz did, and you run a partisan campaign.
Right. And well, I mean,
not exactly.
I wouldn't say that Justice Protasewicz ran a directly partisan campaign. I think that she ran on issues that are identified on partisan levels. But Ann Walsh Bradley, I'm not saying she's done that. I'm just saying that in terms of how we get state Supreme Court justices, having to do it through a ballot every 10 years, I don't think that's necessarily the best way to do it. I would prefer that the governor, kind of like what happens at the presidential level, the federal level, the governor appoints someone. And then you either get confirmation or rejection from the state Senate. And then that person sits for a 25-year term or a 20-year term, whatever it is. I just think that once you're on a Supreme, that's why I like the U.S. Supreme Court model, for as flawed as it is. And now we've seen through Clarence Thomas that even that is susceptible, because the federal model is set up so theoretically justices are not susceptible to outside forces, because once you get the job, you have it for life. So unless you get impeached, which is pretty slim, nobody can touch you. So the whole idea is that normally up until the last 10, 15 years, a justice, look at Justice Kennedy, who is now off the bench. Justice Kennedy was appointed by a conservative president. All right. But once he got on the bench, turned out he was more of a swing voter. Justice Kennedy, a quote unquote conservative justice, was the justice that made the final vote, cast the deciding vote for marriage equality in this country. A lot of people forget that. Why did Justice Kennedy feel that he could do that? My gut tells me he felt it was the right thing to do, and he wasn't at the behest of anybody else, because he had that job. Turned out he stepped down shortly after that decision. But that's kind of the nice part of the federal system. Now, as we said, Clarence Thomas has proven corruption can eke in even at the federal level. But in Wisconsin, look, we're not going to get to appointing justices anytime soon. So the system what we have is what we have. We'll see. I mean, do you have any ideas on the liberal side who should run for the seat being vacated by liberal Justice Ann Welch Bradley, saying she will not run again? Former Attorney General for Wisconsin, Republican Brad Schimmel in on the conservative side. Who should run as a liberal? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Troy, listening on WMDX in Mount Horeb. Troy, thanks for calling in. Always appreciate it. What say you?
I have agreed with you on this point right up until recent times. Do you think this Republican Senate would have seated Justice Janet?
Probably not. And I think that's why I said, I mean, this isn't going to happen anytime soon. And that's why I'm saying, even at the federal level with Clarence Thomas, we've seen that even the federal system is open to corruption. But I mean, I'm just saying that I don't like electing justices.
And the Senate, at the federal level played with it too. And that's why Merrick Garland's our Attorney General instead of Supreme Court Justice.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying this is a perfect way to do it. I'm just saying
I'm not ripping on you, because like I said, just until recent times, I've agreed with you. I've always thought that justices should be appointed because they shouldn't have to run a political campaign. You know, political campaigns are, you know, you have to state what you think on issues and different things like that, that justices maybe shouldn't say.
Right.
But, you know.
So what would you think of, what would you think of opening to say, okay, well you run once and it's a 20-year term and that's it. You only get one. So you're not up for re-election. So you're theoretically less susceptible to influence.
That would be a bad system.
Yeah. That's kind of trying to meet it both ways, right?
Kind of a compromise.
Yeah. Always appreciate the call, Troy. Thank you so much. Have a great day out there in Mount Horeb. Beautiful town in Mount Horeb. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Lynn in Oconomowoc. Lynn, thanks for calling in. What say you?
I say Maggie Dawn should run.
Maggie Dawn. There you go. Well, you know, I haven't talked to her yet. But who knows? I mean, she's an attorney. She knows she's well-known in Milwaukee. She has a statewide talk show. Maybe we should Maggie, if you're listening, call in. Let us know whether you're thinking about this.
I'd really like her to replace the AG, though.
Well, all right.
Make a good attorney general.
We'll pass that on to her if she's not listening. Thank you, Lynn. Really appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Kurt, listening to WMDX in Madison. Kurt, any thoughts on who might run as the liberal for the Supreme Court next fall or next spring?
I don't. But you made a comment about the Supreme Court, and I want to react to that.
Sure.
There are three of the Supreme Court justices straight out lied to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
They lied. They're on the record, camera, audio, and they lied. Roe v. Wade was the question that was posed to them. Oh, we won't touch that. It's established law. So my question is, where are the impeachments? It shows the system's broken.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question, Kurt. And like I said to the previous caller there, I'm not saying the system at the federal level is perfect, but up until, when you agree or disagree, up until the last 15 years, it worked fairly well. And that's only been the most recent times, started by Mitch McConnell and the Republicans when Obama was president, that this whole thing has really gone in the crapper.
Weakest link.
Yeah, right. Appreciate the call, Kurt. Thank you.
I have some pushback on that point, actually, though, that it's worked up until the last 15 years. It's worked up until the last 15 years, as far as we know. Maybe we're just better at seeing what's going on.
I mean, that's true.
I don't completely believe that, but I think it is worth pointing out that maybe some of it we just don't know.
You don't completely believe what you just said? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. I think things have gotten worse. Oh. Like, people like Trump have been in office, and there's no way that just us having better public knowledge is the reason he's worse. Like, he is worse. I don't know.
Who do you think should replace or who run for instead of Ann Welch Bradley, who is not running for the Supreme Court? Give us a call, 855-752-4842. We see you on the line. This is our friend Matt Flynn says. Back with your calls after this on the All Ball Show and Civic Media.
Thursday on Nightlight, I welcome Ed the Diver. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Evan Goyke, candidate for the City of Milwaukee City Attorney's Office. Evan, you and I were texting yesterday because with every campaign that I've ever known someone that's running, there is always what I'm going to call the yard sign controversy.
It's true that yard signs don't vote.
Yes.
But there is deep, deep psychological warfare with right. Yard signs.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Drought in 2023 paired with this unusually mild winter could mean that your soil has some surprises. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday. UW Extension Specialist Daniel Smith recommends getting a nitrate test for your soil.
Last year was really dry, which means that we didn't see a lot of nitrogen move throughout the soil profile, and our crop yields may have been a little bit suppressed as well. So we didn't use all the nitrogen that was possibly applied. So I would recommend taking a pre-plant nitrate test this year. It's a 2-foot soil sample. It's about $20 to do for about 20 acres of land. You can take a couple of those for your farm on those fields that you think, well, gosh, I probably didn't get as good of yields last year, and it was really dry. And it'll tell you if there's a nitrogen credit from last year. So input prices remain fairly high and inflated. Crop prices are unfortunately coming down a little bit, so we need to find ways to possibly increase profitability, and I would suggest that nitrate test.
Daniel Smith joining us, an outreach program manager with the Division of Extension. Stick around for a look at your midday commodity prices up next.
Research, promotion, and education, that's where your Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested. Adam Kask is the executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, fresh off a trip to Georgia, learning more about how soybeans are used in firefighting foam.
Yep, that was down in Dalton, Georgia. We saw a demonstration of a new firefighting product, actually a foam made out of soybean meal. And the whole intention is to replace the current firefighting foam on the market right now is made with PFAS chemicals, the forever chemicals that we're hearing so much about. So our parent organization, the United Soybean Board, has been working on this project for at least a couple of years now. So down in Dalton, Georgia, we had the opportunity along with several other states and a lot of firefighters from some of the different soybean producing states to go down there and see a test of this product. It actually worked very well.
Adam Kask, executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, talking about soy-based firefighting foam. Find more at wisoybean.org.
For the most part, commodity prices are moving lower midday on a Thursday. From Chicago, cash corn is down a penny and a half at 432 and three quarters. December new crop corn is sitting neutral at 470 and a quarter. Cash beans are down 7 3/4 cents at 11.57 a bushel. And November new crop soybeans are also down 7 3/4 cents, trading at 11.61 and a half. Cash wheat is down 6 cents at 552.5, and July new crop wheat is down 6.5 cents at 567 a bushel. Class 3 milk is giving back yesterday's gains. The May contract is down 18 cents at 1648 a hundredweight. The June contract is down 26 cents at 1693. Don't forget to follow along with us around the clock on our smartphone app. You can download that for free at thefarmwi.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy today with scattered showers and a thunderstorm possible as well. High temperatures will flirt with 60 degrees and winds will start to ramp up this evening and into tomorrow too, dragging our high temperatures down for Friday into the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now it's 62 degrees.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Soaring from high above Riverside Park and Granddad's Bluff, this is the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Glad to have you along. Whether you're walking, pleasant day to be out there walking over your lunch, at least most places. Maybe some rain in the forecast here and there across Wisconsin today into tonight. Then a beautiful weekend on tap, particularly later afternoon, Friday into Saturday and Sunday. It is Thursday, April 11th. Mr. Zommer's on the board taking your phone calls at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, talking about the announcement this morning by State Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley saying she will not seek re-election next year, a decision that could make it more challenging for liberals to maintain the majority that they won just a year ago. On the conservative side, remember, justices for the Supreme Court in Wisconsin do not run partisanly, meaning they don't technically run as Democrats, Republicans, but essentially they do. Both parties get involved only under the labels liberal and conservative. So on the conservative side, Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Brad Schimmel, a former Republican attorney general, has already announced a plan to run, asking you, what do you think about how we elect Supreme Court justices in Wisconsin in general, and who do you think should run on the liberal side? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Appreciate the calls. Take them in order. First of all, Peggy in Brooklyn. Beautiful Brooklyn. Peggy, I'm going to be driving through Brooklyn later on this afternoon. I've got to go down to Monroe to get my taxes done. I know it's late, but I always love driving through Brooklyn.
Okay. Maggie Dawn would be my choice. 10 years, not 20.
All right.
And I still do not, for the life of me, understand how a criminal like Trump can run. We need to enforce the laws we have out there and don't make more.
All right,
we got laws.
So you're in favor of the current situation in Wisconsin, electing a state Supreme Justice for 10 years at a time?
Yes.
All right, and you're another vote for Maggie Dawn. Well, we're going to have to ask her here. We'll find out what's happening.
Angie from Monroe also texted in saying that she'd vote for Maggie.
All right, very good.
We need to quit making more laws when we aren't even enforcing the ones we got. I mean,
right.
You and I would be in prison by now. Let's be real.
Well, that's true. All right. I always appreciate the call, Peggy. Thanks for listening down there in beautiful Brooklyn. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go over to equally beautiful Sussex and Gary listening in Sussex. Always appreciate it, Gary. What say you?
Well, I'd like to inform Peggy that Donald Trump is not a criminal because he hasn't been convicted.
Okay, well, let's not go down. We're trying to keep it to the Supreme Court. Let's go here.
All right. I got somebody.
All right.
Long time Democrat.
Yeah.
Someone that I would even vote for. Someone that would get 70 to 80% of all the votes from the people of Wisconsin. Someone who is backed by the police, backed by the Sheriff's Department of Milwaukee. I have the guy.
Who is it?
I know you're going to agree with me, Todd.
Who?
Oh, you want me to tell you?
Well, please.
Oh, okay.
I love the buildup.
Sheriff David Clark, longtime Democrat. What do you think? what are you laughing about?
I needed a good laugh today. I appreciate that. I needed a good laugh. Right. I mean, he was originally a Democrat. People forget that until he went space. But like, I like to say about the former sheriff, David Clark, he's all hat and no cattle. He's even too spooky for the Trump folks. I mean, they don't even want to talk to him or have him around them. I mean, the guy's a space cadet. You're not serious, are you?
Well, I thought you would approve, and you needed a good laugh.
I needed a good laugh. No, I appreciate that.
It's Friday Eve today.
All right.
Thursdays are Friday Eve.
Yes.
All right. I'll see
you. Hey, appreciate it, Gary. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Liberal Ann Walsh Bradley of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court announcing she will not seek re-election today. On the Republican or the conservative side, in this case, Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Brad Schimmel, former Republican AG of Wisconsin, is already in. Who should be the liberal? And what do you think of this system we have in Wisconsin of electing every 10 years our state Supreme Court justices? 855-752-4842. Let's go to Larry, listening in the beautiful suburb of Sun Prairie here in South Central Wisconsin on WMDX in Madison. Larry, thanks for calling and listening. What say you?
Yeah, Maggie Dawn would be good. The other one would be, how about Mandela Barnes?
All right. Are you required to be an attorney to be on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court? I'm not sure, because I don't believe
you have to be.
Look, I like Mandela Barnes as a, I think he did a good job as lieutenant governor. I do not think he ran the best campaign for U.S. Senate. I would if I had to choose between those two, I'd take Maggie Dawn.
Yeah. So. I mean, agreed. There were a lot of people putting Maggie's name out there. I was just trying to come up with somebody else that had some name recognition.
Right. No, I mean, Mandela Barnes is certainly, he's a recognizable name. You know, I also would prefer, maybe you don't technically have to be or officially be an attorney to run for the position, but I would much prefer someone who has a law degree and has experienced some time in the law to be, because it's the highest court in Wisconsin, right? I really don't want anybody on either side that has to learn the job on the fly.
Well, former Sheriff Clark, no. How about Tommy Thompson?
Well, now
throw Tommy in there,
right? I mean, why not? Why? I mean, if you want to just say someone who's an independent, right, who has a law degree from UW-Madison, I mean, who knows? Yeah. Maybe Tommy might be interested. I mean, Tommy, of course, I think would appreciate having his name bantered around, if nothing else. And we found out go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if not, Schimmel for the Republican, Tommy. And if Tommy ran as a Republican, I think he would garner a heck of a lot of votes.
I think he would. I think the sad thing is my gut tells me that Schimmel would beat Tommy in a primary because the former Republican Party is now all MAGA, and I'm not sure that Tommy could get through a MAGA primary. I don't think he's crazy enough. I know he's not crazy enough.
Yeah, good point.
So,
good point.
But no, I appreciate the call, Larry. Always a pleasure. Always appreciate your listenership as well. Thank you so very much. Have a great day out there. Beautiful Sun Prairie, home of Jimmy the Groundhog and our very own Luke Mathers. How about that?
Every year on Groundhog Day, I rewatch the video of Jimmy biting the mayor's ear.
It's a fantastic bite. Fantastic bite, literally and figuratively.
It is.
Ann Walsh Bradley, liberal on the state Supreme Court justice, saying she will not run for re-election next year. She is 73 years old, saying that it's time, quote, to pass the torch, bringing fresh perspective to the court, unquote. Saying that she thought she could probably win if she ran again, but just decided to pass the torch. I agree with that, actually. And I'm not just saying that because she's from the same hometown, Richland Center.
Doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. But she's been a great fundraiser, a great campaigner. A year ago, she was out there on the campaign trail campaigning for Judge and now Justice Protasiewicz. She's in great health, or so it appears. Great mind.
And just wants to enjoy that great mind.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. So we'll continue to follow the story, but this is certainly big news across the state of Wisconsin. If you want to weigh in on it, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Other big story today, and look, this is much more of a national story, but I think for those of us who are alive at the time, it marks an era, right? O.J. Simpson, the former NFL star and broadcaster whose athletic achievements and fame were eclipsed by his 1995 acquittal in the brutal killings of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman, has died of cancer, according to the family this morning. He was 76 years old. The post from the Simpson family on X, formerly known as Twitter, this morning said, quote, on April 10th, our father, Orthaniel James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer, unquote. Family went on to say he was surrounded by his family, his children and grandchildren. Says during this time of transition, his family asked that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace, unquote. Simpson's prostate cancer diagnosis was made public about 2 months ago. Pro Football Hall of Fame president Jim Potter said in a statement, the Hall of Fame player had received chemotherapy treatments. Look, he's a controversial figure. And again, I don't want to get into a big debate over O.J. Simpson today. I was alive at the time, was working for a member of Congress, and I can remember watching. I mean, this was the newsiest of news, right? Maybe it really was the beginning in 1995, because this just predates the internet, or it was in its infancy of infancies. There was no streaming at the time. There were no smartphones at the time. Really cool people had a beeper. Remember those beepers back in 1995? And so when this heinous crime was committed, O.J. Simpson fled in a white Ford Bronco driven by someone else. And it was a television spectacle. It was on TV on every major network and CNN at the time. And the cameras, the helicopters followed O.J. Simpson around on the run through the freeways of Southern California with tens, if not hundreds, of police vehicles behind him in a Ford Bronco going through the freeways and highways and roads of Los Angeles. It was beyond must-watch television. And it was probably the first of its kind in this must-see-now news, where they interrupt programming, so he finally gave himself up. He had the big trial with Judge Ito. Remember that? Jay Leno had the dancing Itos. It was a big thing on the Tonight Show back in the time.
I mean, wasn't alive then, but I remember on the 10-year anniversary, it was all over the news again. Mm-hmm. And watching it with my family, be like, "Dad, what the heck's going on?" And
it was a big historical thing. And of course, then the big trial, and all the evidence seemed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that O.J. Simpson committed these murders, these heinous stabbing murders of his ex-wife and her friend. But the prosecution made a terrible, unforgivable mistake. The one piece of physical evidence that the prosecution had was a leather glove that the perpetrator had used, allegedly. And so in the trial, they made O.J. Simpson put on the glove because they thought, well, you know, if it matches his hand, that's going to show the jury that he did it. What the prosecution somehow unthinkably did not think of was that when real leather gets wet, be it water, or in this case, blood sopped, leather shrinks. So when O.J. Simpson opened up the evidence bag and tried to put on the glove that was undoubtedly his, it didn't fit because it had shrunk up and he couldn't get his hand in it, no matter how hard he tried. And his attorney, Johnny Cochran, got up and looked at the jury and uttered the famous line, "If the glove don't fit, you gotta acquit." And it was over. O.J. Simpson was found not guilty. He was found criminally liable in a civil trial in order to pay, I think, $30 million, $33.5 million in damages in 1997. A jury found Simpson unanimously liable in the deaths of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. And then later on, ended up, you know, getting out, got in some more legal trouble back in 2017 for breaking his parole, tried to steal back some of his NFL stuff. And it's the tragedy of all tragedies, because O.J. Simpson did break in the time playing for college at USC for the Buffalo Bills, broke a lot of barriers, was an all-star, was an idol for many Black Americans because of what he had achieved. But he basically threw it all away by killing his wife and her boyfriend, allegedly. So ends the sad story and career of O.J. Simpson, dead at 76. Take your phone calls, back at more on the other side. 855-752-4842 is the All Balls Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM. Earl Ingram.
So let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I always wanted to be taller. All I wanted to do all day was play basketball. And I remember this guy from the team came in, and he's having a bad day. And he looks at, we're just playing a pickup game, and he goes, "Hey, guys, can I get a dunk?" Somebody throws him the ball. He runs and powers it down, and I'm like, how cool after a bad day to be able to throw a dunk down. Like, you don't get the same satisfaction with launching an angry two-handed set shot, you know?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the Tom Wolf Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Glad to have you along on a Thursday. Talking about the breaking news this morning, O.J. Simpson, great football legend, and later threw it all away, seemingly, allegedly killing his wife and her boyfriend, acquitted through some very terrible prosecuting attorneyship in Los Angeles, but later found criminally liable for the deaths of those two individuals and did serve jail time. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Dave, listening on WMDX in Madison. Dave, thanks for listening. What say you?
Yeah, it wasn't that the prosecution made any mistakes, it's that they perpetrated frauds on the court. Let me just say in passing, though, as to the vinyl glove, it wasn't because it was wet. It was because they had him wear a vinyl glove to preserve the forensic value of the glove, and it seemed like it didn't fit, even though it may have. Now, Mark Furman, the lead detective in the case, lied on the stand. I mean, he was caught like red-handed.
Yeah, I forgot about that part. Furman did lie. But I still think that the prosecution made a terrible mistake. I mean, you could have had him take the vinyl glove off and just say, okay, use it with your skin. I mean, it was a dumb mistake.
I agree with that, but Furman was part of that prosecution. Maybe he wasn't the attorneys, but he was definitely, The police essentially are detective agency for the prosecution. In addition to that, there were very, very credible allegations of planting evidence. You know, this was during the zero tolerance 90s. So O.J. had public opinion definitely against him. And I think that colored a lot of the coverage of this, although a lot of things did get out. But you know, there's a doctrine in law. It's called falsus in uno. This is Latin. Falsus in uno, falsus in omdurman. You know, if one of your pieces of evidence or testimony is wrong, then the jury can assume that all of it's wrong, and that's a reasonable inference to make. So we don't know because of that misconduct on the part of various people on the prosecution team. We don't know whether or not he's innocent or guilty, but you know, that definitely raises a reasonable doubt. And so I think the jury, it wasn't jury nullification so much as that there was OJ may have been guilty. Maybe, you know, you could say he probably was, but there was definitely a reasonable doubt. And so he was acquitted for that reason.
Well, I appreciate the call. I mean, he did write a book, remember, called I Did It. I mean, the guy wrote a book called I Did It. I mean,
no, it was not. No, it wasn't. It was called What if I Did It?
Well, I mean, okay. I mean, I think he's a grifter. I think he was guilty. He was found criminally liable and didn't have to pay the victim's family's $33 million.
Yeah, but he was found civilly liable, not criminally.
Well,
liable.
I'm sorry. Yes. Civilly liable. Thank you. Yes. Civilly is criminally guilty. He was found criminally innocent, but civilly liable. Yes, you are correct. Always appreciate your perspective, Dave. Thanks for very much for calling in. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Jesse, listening in Madison. Jesse wanted to talk a little bit about the state Supreme Court with the news that Ann Welch Bradley will not seek re-election in 2025. Thanks for calling. What say you?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just had one comment to make. I understand the impulse and your perspective on wanting all Supreme Court justices to have a legal education. However, I would note that having that as a background for confirmation, at least to our federal Supreme Court, has only really been scrutinized as like a majorly required prerequisite in the last couple of decades. I mean, throughout America's history, there have been a lot of people who have served and served very well on our Supreme Court that did not have a legal education. And I think it's important, especially because so many other justices, all of them right now, do have a legal background, that I don't think that knowledge or perspective is lacking. But I think it would be important to have these very heavily weighted decisions have a little bit more diverse backgrounds and people from, you know, maybe not the upper crust of society who understand what it's like for the common person to go through life and feel the effects of what these decisions actually do.
I appreciate your perspective, Jesse. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I guess in today's day and age, I mean, you have the ultimate outsider, the ultimate anti-politician, the ultimate, you know, I don't know anything about government. We need a real person in there, in Donald Trump. And look what happened. And so I just don't want, I don't want unqualified. I mean, I'm trying to think of somebody who's not an attorney, you know, off the top of my head that would make a good justice.
I would only counter that all nine of our federal Supreme Court justices have a legal education, and we can see the lapse in their morals and ethics as to the application of law as it is anyway. So, I mean, that cuts both ways. I'll leave you with this. I think Norm MacDonald, the nation is missing him right now because he's maybe the only person that would have the appropriate string of OJ jokes right now, and we're missing that.
Norm MacDonald, absolutely an American treasure. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate that. That's fantastic. Norm MacDonald, always a great guest on Letterman, and a great comedian. And yeah, he would have the appropriate and biting perspective on the passing of OJ Simpson.
Speaking of that, though, I see I completely understand why you thought the title was "I Did It," not "If I Did It." In big red letters, it says "I Did It,"
right?
And then on the "I," in tiny blue letters, it says "If."
Right. It was a grift, just like Trump. I mean, Trump.
Well, he's explicitly admitted that the book was a grift because he said, "Look, people already think I did it. The book isn't going to change anything." Yeah, and they offered me $600,000 not to dispute that I wrote it.
Exactly. So it was. I mean, he and Trump, I think, actually were friends, if memory serves. But anyway, enough of that. We're going to come back in hour two. Have a great hour two lined up. Going to talk about this forum being held in Southwest Wisconsin by Senator Kelda Royce and Representative Katrina Shankland on the UW system. And the closing of the two-year colleges, finally, an elected official is having a real town hall to take this on. And we're going to discuss that in hour two. Also coming up at 1:30, we have Jeffrey Hoffman, the founder and owner of Hoffman Manufacturing Corporation in Madison, on converting a DeLorean to an electric vehicle. I'm really looking forward to this. It's nice to see that. And if we have time, might even get to plastic going up on beaches in Wisconsin. According to the Journal Sentinel, almost 9 out of 10 pounds of Great Lakes beach litter is plastic. Gotta do something about that. Stay with us. Hour 2, straight ahead. Your news starts now across the Civic Media Network, across Wisconsin, and on the Civic Media app.
Soaring from high above on Alaska and French Island, this is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490.
Friday morning on Up North News Radio, Jim Santel will discuss the legal issues facing an ex-president whose campaign trail keeps running through courthouses.
How is your drive to school?
Let me tell you.
I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Japan's prime minister delivered remarks on Capitol Hill today. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has more.
The Japanese prime